for the common good. I don't know if you caught it when the Old Testament reading was read, but it starts out with this one verse. And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they listened to the book of the law from early in the morning until midday. I'm not going to preach that long, don't worry. But they gathered to hear the word of the Lord. And that's what we're all here for today. To hear what God has to say to us. And through the words of St. Paul, the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And when he was writing to the Corinthians, Corinth was a very divided congregation. There were people of Jewish background and people from a Greek background living in Corinth, and there were free men and slaves living there. People from different backgrounds and different walks of life and different places in their lives, just as we come from different places and are at different points in our lives today. And Paul says, ironically, that this congregation, this divided congregation in Corinth, he says to them, you're not lacking in any spiritual gift. Even though there was division at the time, and misunderstanding, and maybe even misuse or misappropriation of spiritual gifts. Well, as we heard last Sunday, in verse 4, from the same chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul focuses on a word called, in Greek, it's called charismata. Charismata is where we get the English word charisma, or charisma if you're very Greek. And it means more than just a quality of a person. When we say charisma, oh, so-and-so has charisma, we think, well, they have this overflowing personality, which is just, you know, a gift that's part of them, right? Well, charismata has a little bit different meaning, especially as Paul uses it here. He's talking about God's gift. It's not a person's gift. It's God's gift. So if you're a person who thinks you're God's gift to humanity, you're not. Maybe you know that already. But there's two critical points here. One is that each gift that we have is God's work. And it's God's action in you. It's not just a static thing. It's something that God gives you to use that changes you and it changes the people around you. That's the point of him giving you this gift. So it's God's action in you. That's your charisma, which means whatever your spiritual gifts are. Point two. I invite you to recall from last week the initial premise of this whole chapter 12 of Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Verse 3 says, the one universal gift and activity of the Spirit by which the body of Christ, that is us, the church, is formed and marked. Do you know what that is? Do you remember from last week? Listen to this verse. No one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Here is the key distinction between those who are with and without the Holy Spirit. A person without the Holy Spirit simply does not understand God's ways at all. Earlier in this same letter, St. Paul says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. The outside world tells you, all this stuff that we talk about in church is folly, it's foolishness. And it is to them, because they don't understand it, because it's spiritually discerned. He is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Think about that. We, the church, the people of God, have the mind of Christ. We're the body. Each of us individual members of that body. But we have the mind of Christ. That's why He's our head. It's an amazing thing. So, the proper understanding of spiritual gifts is this, that they flow from spiritual discernment. The discernment that's embodied in this confession that we talked about earlier, Jesus is Lord. A simple confession. Jesus is Lord. That begins at baptism. Your baptism, the Holy Spirit comes to you and plants that seed by which you obtain the mind of Christ. Now it's a very, let's say, small mind at the beginning. And that's why you come here to church. To hear the Word of God. To read the Word of God. To receive His sacrament. That's how you grow. How you grow in wisdom and stature before God and man. Through the Word of God. Because through the Word of God, He changes you. He changes your heart. He changes what's in you. To make you part of Him. Part of His mind. So St. Paul today in our text introduces this metaphor of the body. And he says, members of the body, you might feel inferior, you might be led. Well, let's say you are feeling inferior. You think, I wish I were a different part of the body. He says, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? In our case, my case, it might sound like this. I wish I were a great musician. But I'm not. God has other purposes for me. He uses me in a different way. And this isn't about just what are your spiritual gifts. I don't really want to talk about that today. But it's don't feel inferior to someone because you're a different part of the body. I want to be that part of the body, not this part. That's driven by jealousy or envy or covetousness. Don't be that person. When I was a kid, I mean really a kid, like me to a grasshopper, my father told us kids, my sister and myself, stories about bedtime stories. He always had an extra purpose. You know, I want you to learn some vocabulary, so I'm going to tell you a bedtime story. And he told us a story. It was always about an animal. And, you know, an animal with an adjective, and I'll give you an example. The supercilious sardine, okay? So I would learn the word supercilious. You know, how many five-year-olds need to really know that word, supercilious? Kindergarten. Well, supercilious means you kind of think more of yourself than you are. Well, the supercilious sardine thought he was, he first thought he was going to be a shark, you know, but he couldn't really keep up with the sharks. He wasn't tough enough. And then he wanted to be a whale, and he wanted to dive real deep like a whale. Well, he couldn't do that either. Then he wanted to be a dolphin and jump out of the water like those dolphins do. Thought that was really cool. But each time he was being supercilious. He was trying to be something he wasn't. Okay? And finally, he learned to be a sardine and swim in the school with the other sardines, which is where he belonged. And wisdom is knowing who you are and where you fit in. First of all, with God. First and most importantly, with God. And secondly, in the world. Where do you fit in with your neighbor? All of the law is summed up in love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Where do you fit in with that? And where do you fit in with love your neighbor as yourself? What do you have that contributes to this congregation? Because St. Paul says, we have everything that we need here. All the spiritual gifts that we need are right here amongst us. Well, between you guys and the 8 o'clock service. Everything that we need is here. And where does it start? It starts with grace. Grace is the great equalizer. So if you think you're not worthy, or if you're supercilious and you think you're someone you're not, grace equalizes it. How? By saying, Christ went to the cross for you and me. If that doesn't bring you to the same level, I don't know what will. For it is only by Christ's grace that we are saved. Not by anything that we do, lest any man should boast. Right? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Not that anything that we do. So if we try to do something that we try to be something, we think, let's be the pastor, which is really down here. Pastor serves. Well, that's no more important than the altar guild who prepares our table, the table of the Lord. It's no more important than the person who cleans up the kitchen, the person who vacuums here, the person who teaches a Sunday school class, the person who goes to another one of you, and you've done this, many of you, with an encouraging word, even saying hello on Sunday, welcome, we're glad you're here, and listening. How many people need to have someone who will listen to them? All these things are spiritual gifts given to you by God. Just what we need, just at the right time. By the Holy Spirit, who works these things out as and when He wills. That's what the Holy Spirit brings to us. A gift which comes to us at our baptism. It allows us to discern what needs to be done. Not for our own sake, although we benefit from it when we do it, but for the sake of your neighbor, each other. That's why you're here, for each other. It's not just between you and God. It's between you and God and all of us. That's how the people, as was read earlier, we're standing as one man in the Holy Spirit, listening to the Holy Spirit through God's Word in Nehemiah's day, in St. Paul's day, in today's day. Today, in your hearing, this Word is fulfilled because of Jesus Christ. You are part of the body of Christ. It's a wonderful thing. You have the mind of Christ given to you because of your baptism. St. Paul says, don't worry about ranking members with different gifts. He says that the weaker parts are necessary, even indispensable. If you have ever felt like you are unworthy of something, that's when Christ comes to you and says, you are indispensable. I need you to be part of my body for the sake of somebody else. to the last breath of your body, you are part of the body of Christ. And even after that, next week when we talk about, when we get into the famous part of chapter 12 about love, I will show you still a more excellent way, he says. And I'll tell you what it is. It's love, okay? It's love. And not just this, ushy-gushy, I'm romantic love, which is fine, but all of this stuff in this world, this is the most amazing thing about Christ. All this stuff in the world that we strive after, and even wonderful things like wisdom and knowledge and speaking in tongues and working miracles and all that stuff, that's going to pass away, but the things that are built in love, they survive to the next world too. That is wonderful. That is wonderful. And that's all for you, you baptized Christians. We're going to be living the resurrected life. Start it today. Today in your hearing. Amen.